Instagram stories for Saturday, January 31st. I'm your host, Daniel Hill, and this is the weekend edition of the Instagram stories. On this show, I typically provide social media news and strategy in a compact time format. However, for this weekend edition, we're going to do something a little bit different. Likely, you don't know a lot about me other than I cover social media news, and maybe sometimes you are kind enough to listen to the Wednesday Waffle where I rant about another topic. Today on the show, I'm going to share an interview that I did where I am the person being interviewed, and you'll learn a little bit about me, my likes, dislikes, things that I absolutely hate. And on the second half of the interview, we'll get into some social media strategy and why I think social media is the way it is today compared to the way it used to be. The interview will be right after the break. Welcome back. Recently, my wife and two of her friends launched a podcast, and one of the friends was away, so they asked me to be part of the show, and they interviewed me for the episode. Here's the interview.
You're 46. Didn't even know you were 46. Thought you were in your 30s.
A lot of times when people ask, I say that I was born in 1989 because, Taylor Swift was born in 1989, mm-hmm. and it's funny. but no, I was born in 1979.
Wow. All right. So you're a 70s kid.
For 1 minute in the 70s, yes.
Why did I think you guys like were still in your 30s?
Oh, well, appreciate thank you. That. Yeah. No, we're exactly 10 days apart to the date and the month.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
That's awesome.
I'm 10 days older.
Very good. All right. Well, as you know, Lauren is Dan's wife, so he is married. Mm-hmm. How long, Dan?
We have been married for exactly 20 years.
So what do you feel the secret to marriage is? A successful marriage.
Okay. So what you want to do is, this is really important. When a thought comes into your mind about something that your wife is doing, you don't want to say the first thing that comes to your mind. And you don't want to say the second thing that comes to your mind. But if you just wait about 30 seconds, the third thing that comes to your mind will be the right thing to say.
Wow.
Now, I know that sounds basic, but if you just pause before you think and before you speak, it will work out better. And every time when I say something stupid, it is because I just started talking right away and I did not follow this rule.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's a new one for me there when I asked that question. All right. So what do you do? Occupation.
I'm a product manager. I work on apps and websites. I work to make sure the development teams know what to do. Then they do it. And I work with clients who have websites and apps that need improving.
Very nice. So what's your favorite drink or alcohol of choice?
Whiskey in a glass mm-hmm. is pretty much all I need. And okay. I'm a happy person. Doesn't have to be fancy. Doesn't have to be expensive. Doesn't even need ice. As long as it's in the cup, that's good enough.
All right. Well, we have ventured off into karaoke. We do enjoy that. So what's your favorite song of choice when having to do karaoke?
That's a really good question. I do not like karaoke that much when I do it because I feel like I'm very cringe at it. And I understand the point is to be cringe. Mm-hmm. That's actually a thing that I spent, I would say, a solid 15 minutes in therapy on 1 week, just talking about my cringe factor of therapy. And my therapist was helping me reach the point where I understand the point of karaoke is to be cringe. And that kind of reframed it for me. She really likes to help me reframe things.
I think it means bad singer in Japanese. If you ever look it up.
Oh, really?
I have to find out I have to Google this Ash Gemini. I think that was the purpose originally was like, I'm going to Gemini it right now.
Right.
So no favorite song of choice?
So what I like to do is pick a song where it's a duet, but Lauren has to do most of the work.
Okay.
I actually really enjoy that.
Thanks.
That's typically what I try to go for, but nothing is coming to mind at the moment.
Nothing.
Sorry. I was not prepared for this question.
All right. So, do you have a motto in life or a quote that you followed? Aren't these great questions?
These are great questions.
I love interviewing people, by the way.
I didn't know that I was going to be asked these questions.
Yes, and they're serious questions. I love interviewing people.
I just want to say this real quick. Karaoke means empty orchestra in Japanese.
Oh.
And it started in the 1970s in the entertainment business. Industry, and it refers to a musical performance where the live musicians are completely absent, leaving only the recorded backing track for a singer to perform over. So it's okay to be cringy.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's all good.
I get that
all
now.
Good.
But
see, just, if I could go back to this topic a little bit, because karaoke, I actually enjoy, but I think that people take it a little too seriously, because to me, karaoke is whether you have a voice or not, you're just going out there and having fun, but you have those people who are like really serious, like they probably think that, you know, some music mogul is out there in the audience and you, you're about to get signed.
And I'm always right behind that person though. That person always, they're like, they destroy it. And then like, and now Dan, I'm like, oh, and I can see the people like, oh, he's going to be good too. And then they just like slowly go back to their drink. And what I really hate is the room when you rent the tiny room and it, you're like, everyone's right there. So they don't even have a drink to go back to. They're just still staring at me. And of course I pick a long song and I'm like, why did I do this? This is a terrible idea. Just recently, actually, we went to do karaoke and I picked Mbop by Hanson, which in my head sounded like a fun karaoke song. And then as soon as it started, I was like, Dan, your voice is in no way high enough for this. What are you doing? And
there's
I immediately
a lot
stopped
of words
it.
In that song.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of words. Yeah, yeah. And then I saw another friend do a song and I was like, oh, let me jump in on this song. I could do it. And I jump in on the song. And about halfway through, I realized what some of the words on that song are. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to let her do that part. And that was a lesson for me because I was about to put that on my list of like go-to karaoke songs. And after that, I was like, ooh, no.
Yeah. I just feel like it's just fun. It's just fun. Go out there, be yourself. Yeah. Even if people are like, oh my God, she's or he's terrible. I really don't care.
Honestly. And it's fun to play with the audience, like pick a song that they do not expect you to do.
Yeah.
And that's always a real crowd favorite. And one thing you always do though is you always ask me the words and you go, because we hear music differently.
Yes,
not to get 100%. On the tangent.
Oh, I don't
hear. I can hear every syllable, every word.
Yeah. I don't hear words in songs. You could ask me my favorite song and I've listened to it 100,000 times. And if you ask me what the words are, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I hear sound and I don't hear specific words. And even when I do know the words, I still only know the sounds of the words. So that's I've never thought about most of my favorite songs. What is the meaning of the song? And sometimes when I do sit down and I read the lyrics, I'm like, I did not know. And I really do enjoy finding out what songs are about, but I can never tell from just listening to the lyrics, almost never. If I see the music video, then I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But apart from that, no. I did think of what my motto is. It took me a minute to remember, but my motto is we always fly out of Newark and we always fly direct. I'm not driving to JFK. I'm not
and
paying
he
the
doesn't
tolls.
Fly Spirit.
If I know, because if you drive to JFK or LaGuardia or whatever, it's 2 hours to get there. By the time you get there, you're
so
hungry.
True.
You're hungry. Yeah. So you're going to spend money in the airport buying food. You're like, oh, the ticket was cheaper. No, you use it all on tolls and airport food. And even if you didn't, even if you managed to pack a snack, good on you. When you come back, you're going to be like, home is 2 hours. I'm going to get some food before I leave the airport. And now you're back to using. So no, always fly direct. Every time we do a layover, every single time we go, let's get a drink and a snack. Okay. $200 later.
Yeah,
how did that happen?
Yep.
No, we're just going right to the direction to the destination.
And a yogurt. It was $60.
There's another place I want to go to, and it's in the Caribbean. And you have to take a plane and then take one of those very, very tiny planes or take a boat. And I'm like, again, too many steps. It's just fly direct and just be done with it. Yeah. So that's my motto.
Okay. That's a very good motto.
Thank you.
Can you repeat that again?
Always fly from Newark and always fly direct.
Okay. Let's talk bucket lists. First of all, do you believe in bucket lists?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Did you ever look into the history of bucket lists?
No.
This actually is an interesting term. It didn't exist until like that movie came out.
Which one?
I can't think of it now.
Okay, we're going to look it up.
Came out as a word, as a phrase about 15 years ago. It's a movie that everyone has seen a million times and I've never seen it.
It's called The Bucket List.
Is it?
It is called, it's The Bucket List and it's
I'm thinking of something else then.
No. It's The 100 Things You Do Before You Are No Longer With Us.
Right.
And it is with Jack Nicholson.
But if you look, like, people never really use that as a term until... Mm-hmm. Okay, so to answer your question, I don't really have too many bucket list things I would like to do other than the things that we do all the time, which is hang out with our friends, go places, travel, do things. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, there's more places to travel. I've never been to Australia. I've never been to New Zealand. I would like to go there. Mm-hmm. I've never been to Tokyo. Mm. But there's plenty of places I don't want to go, so... I don't need to do skydiving or bungee jumping or any of those things. Totally fine with where I'm at with that. But one thing that one of my friends told me about recently is if you go to Iceland, they have puffins there.
And when the puffins, or is it puffins, penguins? Well, I'm trying to blank.
The puffins.
Yeah. So the puffins, when they're born, they're confused by the lights of the city. So they start walking toward the lights, but they need to walk toward the ocean. So what people do is they gather them up, the puffins, and then they take turns throwing them off ledge of it. I swear. I looked it up. You have to like chuck it like a football. Like you really, because they're about football size, and you throw it off the edge. And I don't know when puffin throwing season is. I believe it's in the spring, but... And I can't throw a football very far, actually, either. But I'm going to say that that is definitely on my bucket list to do. I would like to throw a puffin.
That is... I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I don't know. I just learned about it recently. Reem and
there
Steve and Nora and Todd went to...
Yeah.
I have to look that up. Throw a puffin. That is so interesting.
Yeah, puffin throwing. There's videos. But just the fact that you're supposed to throw puffins, it's not like, oh, that's a prank. People are just throwing puffins off the ledge. You're supposed to. Yeah. You're helping the ecosystem by throwing puffins off a ledge.
Oh, my God. Yes. So interesting.
I'm going to pause it there for a quick second. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about why I am not a hugger and also my thoughts on social media as a whole. Stick around. Welcome back. Let's dive into the next part of this interview where I talk about why I don't hug people.
All right. So there's two subjects I really want to cover with you, Dan, because for the years that I've known you, I've known this about you and I'm always intrigued by it. So the number one thing is your personal space. Okay. Dan does not like to hug.
No, thank you.
And I need to dive into that because culturally, for me as a Puerto Rican woman, culturally we love to hug people. We love to like give them kisses on the cheeks. Mm-hmm. You know, there are cultures that are very, you know, they're known for that. Very, and it's not inappropriate. It's not being inappropriate. It's just, it's more of like, that's how we show our love to people. Mm. So could you please explain to us why it is that you just don't like to hug?
So first, I don't really need anybody touching me.
Yeah.
Also, and you like to hug me. Like, let's just say, he's a good hugger with me. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
But also, germs are a factor. And that I think true. A lot of times people are just getting over being sick. They're about to get sick. They didn't wash their hands. I don't know. Yeah. And there's been times where Lauren will be, you know, at a public event, hugging and kissing, and then get sick. And I'm like, that's on you. And I think how much that could have been avoided if you just, you know, shook your hand with the person and then went and washed your hands. And I'm not a big hand sanitizer person. I feel like that's a little too much, but I wash my hands regularly and I try not to get in people's personal bubbles. But also it's the fact that I will hug you if I haven't seen you in a long time. Mm-hmm. But some people we see regularly, you know, if I see you twice a week, I'm not hugging you every, like, stop. I might not have even hugged my wife yet that day, and I already hugged you on Thursday, and now it's Sunday, and you're getting another hug? Like, just no.
Yeah.
And I don't really think that that's a thing that has to happen. Who did you hug or kiss right before you came to me? I don't know. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Let's just do
that. You hug, like, for funerals, too.
If you lost a family member, I will hug you. You know, if you had a death in your family, or you're just about to, you know, cry or something, I guess maybe I'll pat you.
But we do appreciate you. Like, I've had this goes to a bigger topic that, you know, you and I have talked about. I've had grown women though who appreciate the fact that you don't hug because you're not a creeper. I've had that too. And I've had my friend, like, and grown people who have daughters, especially daughters and kids, and they always go, but Dan's not creepy ever with the kids, you know what I'm just saying? Like, there's an incredible amount of space there and like respective space. And I was like, oh, he's really good like that. Like he's not creepy.
Right.
But it does go to the conversation of like, you just are like, a handshake is fine. A fist bump is nice. Yeah.
I don't want anyone to read into a hug, like a hug too long or like, we don't need it.
I just find it's like, cause you know, my world of hugging, I don't mind it.
See? I agree.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, by the way, if you hear some, you know, chirp behind the scenes, I do have a fourth guest here, and that's Kimora. Say hi, Kimora.
Hello.
Kimora's shaking her head in agreement to this, like, yes, absolutely, yes.
Kimora's my beautiful 26-year-old single daughter. Okay?
She's also a lot of fun, yes. And then she loves music. I'm sorry.
And loves to work out.
Loves to work out,
Must love dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. But this goes back to... I guess I don't mind hugging. I don't mind that. And I have to feel a vibe with a person, right?
Mm.
But then there's the weird type of hugs. And then there is the creepy type of hugs. Because to hug, you don't need to touch low, right? No. you touch high, yes. right? Because the hug is more towards like the back, right? The back. So yeah. there's no need to go low. So to me, that's creep mode.
Full body hugging is right. not necessary.
Like, not necessary. And then you have the hugs that are just like the
yep.
tap. Nice tap. Which to me is like, okay, you really didn't want to hug me, so don't worry. You don't need to do mm-hmm, that. Mm-hmm. But I do appreciate the side hugs. I like the side hugs. So Dan, if you ever don't want to hug me.
Actually, I have a question though.
Side hug, Dan.
I have a question. What's with the people who hug you the first time they meet you? Like if it's a group of people, I've seen where the person will go down the line and hug each individual. I'm like, I've never met you before. I don't even know your name. Why am I giving you a hug? Buy me a drink first. Like, what is that? What is that about?
Like, let's say I'm mm-hmm. meeting one of Lauren's new friends. I don't know her. Mm-hmm. I'm going to naturally just hug her.
Really?
Give her a kiss? Yeah.
Why?
And I don't even care if it's a guy or a girl. I'm just like,
wow, that is, no.
Hi, you know?
I'm not comfortable with that at all.
There's a cultural aspect because even our friends were here from Italy and one we knew for like 10 years and then we met his wife and then the other couple, but Italian men all hug and kiss each other.
But like, they don't even ask. They're not even, nobody, and this isn't a disrespect to the Italians. No, they're very nice, but I'm just saying people don't even ask like, hey, is it okay if I hug you? Like we've come so far in this world of like consent and making sure that everyone's on the same page.
It's cultural.
If you don't, you should. No, you should ask.
But I'll ask an American.
I'm always like, I go out with my hand first and then the person's like, and I'm like, I'm not a hugger. And they already have their hands around me sometimes. I'm like, who told you that was okay? Like, who raised you to think that you could just go around hugging whoever you want? No, I don't go around hugging whoever I want. That's inappropriate. And I think it's the same for you too. Just back up a little bit. And like, maybe once we know each other and I like you, I might be like, oh, hey, you know what? I think I will give you a hug. But like, give me the option. Give me the opportunity to decide if I want to or not.
I will be honest though. I will ask, this can sound terrible, a clearly American person if they hug. Like if I meet somebody for the first time and I'm like, do you hug? Like I will say it. And they're like, sometimes we're like, no, like there's this like, right? And then growing up, because I grew up in an incredible, like super diverse crew of people, we always hugged each other. And like, it was like, cause I was with a lot of kids who were like, I grew up in a really urban area. I was with a lot of Latin kids, a lot of African-American kids. I was with like Indian kids, like, so super diverse in that respect. So I was conditioned to just kind of like give a snuggle, not a creepy snuggle, give a quick kiss on the cheek. It was, yeah. And it was like cultural too with the Italians and stuff like that. But if I do meet somebody who is visibly American, I will ask. I'll be like, hey, do you hug? And especially if it's the first time, and especially now post-COVID. That's a big thing. I'm like, hey, like that's the only change.
I think too about the clip with Jerry Seinfeld and Kesha, yes. because that clip is fantastic. If you've never seen it, Kesha sees Jerry Seinfeld on the red carpet and she's like, hey, Jerry Seinfeld, can I give you a hug? And he's like, no. And I respect that she asked, right? Because she's been the victim of, you know, abuse. He then responds, she asks him again, oh, can I give you a hug? Why not? And he goes, no, thank you. And he puts his hand up and he just walks away. And number one, to Kesha's credit, good for her for asking. And Jerry, if you're not comfortable for whatever reason, you're twice her age, whatever it is, whatever your reasons are, to say no and just be okay with that and be firm in your resolve, I also respect that.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into my thoughts on the social media landscape and why it is the way it is. Stick around. Welcome back. Here's the last part of my interview, and here's my thoughts on the world of social media at large.
You've always spoken about social media. How do you think it has evolved? Like, I'm talking about, I remember the MySpace world.
Sure.
Right? Mm. We could even go back to AOL Messenger.
Instant Messenger. Was our
thing, yeah, right? Yeah.
And then, you know, it started with MySpace, which I loved a MySpace page. I loved it.
I missed MySpace, you know that?
Changing my song on it, right?
That's so funny.
So good, right? Mm-hmm. So then came MySpace and then
Facebook.
Facebook came first.
Yeah,
right?
Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook, mm-hmm. And then it evolved into the Instagram, right? Then Snapchat came in. Mm-hmm. Then Vine was there. Mm. Then TikTok there. And anything else that's
WhatsApp?
There?
Like, you missed Twitter. You missed Threads. You missed Friendster. You missed, like, you
WhatsApp.
I mean, there's
what's
a lot.
What's a WhatsApp stories?
People are using WhatsApp stories. There's Okay, but it's evolved in the way that it used to be about connecting with your friends, right? What are my friends doing that's interesting? And now it's like, what are famous people doing? Or what are people who are trying to be famous, whether you call them creators or influencers or whatever, what are they doing? And it kind of has taken the fun out of it. Yeah. And to a certain extent, I blame everybody for this problem because people don't make new content. Like, I don't see my friends sitting down and saying, okay, let's make a video together. I see I'm organizing my friends like, hey, let's get together and make a video. And sometimes every once in a while, some of my friends do, and shout out to those people. But for the most part, I see people just sharing content that they came across on their feed to their story. Like, what is that? Show me what you're doing. Do something interesting that makes me care about your life. Don't just share something you've come across. And I recognize that back in the day, we used to forward emails, and that was like kind of how we shared things that were interesting that we came across. And you would get emails from people all the time with most random articles or whatever. But fundamentally, I think people are like, wow, creating content is hard. It is for people who are really good at it or people who want to be famous. Therefore, I will not do it. And even I think that too about my own content. When a video doesn't perform well and I worked really hard, it's very frustrating, but it does take the fun out of it. I remember when I used to post a picture on Instagram in 2013, 2014, it would get 150 likes. If I get 10 likes on something now, I'm like, woo, pop it off, let's go. And it's fundamentally just become a viewing experience, not like a let's create or let's make something experience. And one of the things that's most fascinating to me is all the people who I have in my friend circle or in my life who refuse to be on social media, they act like they're too good for it. They're going to get addicted. I don't know. But the second you post anything on your WhatsApp story, they're watching it. Whether you post it at 2 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning, they're watching it. And it's funny because it's like, okay, so you are desperate for social media content. Yeah. Now, those people will not comment. They will not send me a message telling me they like it. They will not heart it. They will nothing. But the next time I see them in person, they'll be like, Dan, let me tell you something. That video you posted, that was really good. I'm like, really? I wouldn't have known because you didn't comment. So what I do to those people on WhatsApp is I only post the first 10 seconds and then I put a screenshot and it says, if you want to watch the rest of this video, go on a real social media platform, Instagram, YouTube, Threads, TikTok. And I let them take action. Like, if you really care about social media content that much and you want to prove that you're not on it, you're not fooling anybody. One of the things that I think is really interesting, I heard Mr. Beast say this recently. They asked him, there's so many platforms on here. Which platform is most important? You're on all of them. You're the biggest person like ever. What? And he said, YouTube. And they said, okay, why? And he said, no. His answer was, on Instagram, TikTok, you might sit down for 10 minutes and watch 100 videos. You do not have a relationship with any one of those creators. You might have seen them before, you might like their stuff, but you have very small, very surface interactions with them. But if I sit down and I watch a 20-minute video, that means you had my attention for the whole 20 minutes. You might have made a 30-second video and nobody liked it or whatever, and that's fine. You can say the pros and the cons of it. But the fact is, you only had their attention for a small amount of time. There's a lot to be said for that.
I want to quote two of my favorite people in life, Dan Hill and Lin-Manuel Miranda. Mm. Dan Hill first.
Thank you.
You're welcome. He has always said, we've talked about this openly, I've talked about this with anybody that asks, social media is for your entertainment.
It's true.
What do you always say?
That's 100%. It's for you. However you want to use it, whatever you get out of it, it's for you. Exactly. It's not for anyone else. Customize whatever you want. Don't like what you don't like. And
right? Yes. Okay. And Lin has said, it is a voluntary platform. I'm not arguing with you on a voluntary platform. He has said it. And he said, and it goes back to what Dan says all the time. This is for your entertainment. If you're feeling enraged, stop following it.
Yeah.
If you're getting angry, stop following it. If you don't like what you're seeing, mute it. Like, because if you don't want to unfollow, because whatever, mute it. There's all these controls that are in place that makes it an entertaining situation. It is not meant for rage bait. It is not meant to win an argument. And Lin has said that before. Their entire camp is a fantastic study in shutting off social media. So if he's going to do a project, he will change. Nikki and I talk about this all the time. He will change, have his wife change his passwords to everything because he's focusing on something else. So it doesn't have to engulf your life in this negative way. It actually can be a really fun, entertaining, cool place to watch videos about, like, how we've been doing a lot of like TikTok recipes. Like, Dan's been finding like protein recipes. We make these TikTok recipes. I'm not on TikTok. I have time management issues. Yeah. You and I talk about it. I can't put it on my phone.
It's not that bad. Here's how I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you what I do. So when I go to the gym, I get on the treadmill and I walk for at least 20 to 30 minutes, usually 30 minutes. And I just watch while I'm walking. That's it. And if you find a TikTok that you like and you want to share it with your friend and they don't have TikTok.
Yes, that happens to me all the time.
Okay, write the word C in front of the URL. So it'll be www.ceetiktok.com and then put like the rest of the. So you're just inserting the letters S-E-E in the URL. You can send it to them and they could just watch it through a normal web browser. Yeah, yeah. So they don't need to download the TikTok app. I'm really glad you guys asked me. Okay, that's it for the interview. Hopefully you liked that and now you know a lot more about me. Be sure to come back next time for more social media news, strategy, and other things you need to know.
Let's get it. The year was 2013. You posted your first pic and you're glad you posted a scene. Your friends liked it too, but what you didn't know is what posting on that platform would do. Taking all your time and attention, doom scrolling, also let me mention. You gotta post on every platform, putting content on every set just to conform. Likes gave you validation and you got hooked. Now engagement is down, you feeling overlooked. Hey, keep coming back for more podcasts. And find me on Instagram at Daniel Hill.